Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Okay, I would mock that more if the first time I was ever prescribed something for ADHD... didn't immediately take it and then look at the Squirt logo. And I was like, this is shit. So then I spent the next 5 hours just like furiously in my room, like drawing a new Squirt logo. No artistic background, nothing. Just speed.
Logos are important. You get it, yeah.
But I never submitted it to anybody. Did it come out? Nobody got to.
Was it better?
No. No.
You should get into the logo business.
I was in the logo business.
We're back into it. You know who needs a new logo?
Yeah.
Baskin Robbins, because they came out with a new flavor sponsored by Sydney Sweetie, which they say tastes like Sydney Sweetie. Dude, I'm like, what does that mean? Like her vag? Like what it's like goop?
Oh.
Oh, get out of my house.
Ooh, the racial superiority of ice cream ooze.
Well, I mean, her movie did flop, and a bunch of men are like, this is what happens when you cover her up. That's why you deserve your movie to go bad, because you put her in a turtleneck.
We loved her a week ago, but now she's not slutty enough.
Yeah, also the whole good jeans thing, I think, dampened it. Also, I just don't think she's a... I don't think... People see how... People in charts see how popular she is, and they go, oh, she can lead a movie. But she's not movie-leading popular. Men are just horny for her. And that doesn't get men... Despite what a lot of people think, that doesn't make movies do well.
I can't comment on anything to do with her actual career. I've never seen her in anything. Like, as far as I was concerned, I'd known of her, but, like, this ad was her acting debut.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is she in that?
No. No way.
Is she definitely not?
Ain't no way.
She might be.
No, I gotta look it up.
So I swear she wasn't memorable. Something.
She wasn't memorable. I mean, did you watch Euphoria?
No, I'm a 30-year-old man.
I don't know, but a lot of people did, I guess.
It's a deep...
Have you found out? Is she?
It's loading.
It's a deeply perverse country we live in.
The worst reception in the world.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, she was the woman in the chair, right?
She was the not Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
The not Dakota Fanning. So she Margot didn't Robbie? Have... She was Margot Robbie in that movie?
Yeah. In the house watching television also. Yeah. Obviously she was very memorable.
Yeah, I've seen her in one thing. I remembered that, and I'm like, it's one thing that I was like, what?
Maybe her acting was really good. Like, she was one of the background family members, and that's why we didn't even, like, her role was to be less noticed.
Well, I mean,
she's no Squeaky.
She just did a Western, and it got $500,000 in the box office, so I'm not sure if she,
That's a lot of money.
Can you imagine what you would do?
Oh my god, I would be so happy.
I mean, what was the budget of the movie?
Look it up. But no, I was discussing
with that too.
I was discussing with a friend of ours about the recent profits we've been taking in.
Oh yeah, your podcast. Advertisements.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 cents.
We're at 19.
Holy nuts.
I have been trying to be an ethical listener.
Thank you.
And not skip past. And let me tell you, the Ohio caverns are sounding great this time of year.
I'm happy with that ad. Yeah, I love things, dude.
I think they tried to sell me some supplements too, but
good
man, the Ohio caverns. Did you know there's the largest stalactite in Ohio?
Yes, I did.
Oh my god, it's the Crystal King. Holy shit.
The Crystal King?
Guys, you gotta go. Hey, look, this part not an ad read. Just man, go to the Ohio caverns. I hear they're great.
I gotta go there and like start a prog rock album after seeing the Crystal King. But no, they were saying, hey, that's profit. And I was like, well, you know, after our expenses per year, don't do that math. That
don't
math makes you sad.
Math.
It looks
yeah.
good if you don't do that. And I'm like, unfortunately,
we have to. This is a business.
Yeah, also, I am decent at like business math. So when I see expenses and incomes, I just kind of automatically be like, we're operating at a loss.
Significant.
I feel like this is horseshoe theory because they talked about
at like a 95% loss.
It's like girl math. But actually, it's just like 30-year-old male podcaster math.
Yeah, exactly.
Come together at the exact same place.
Here, bleep these numbers out so they sound like, so we can pretend they're really big and we have a huge budget. Okay, so we are making like dollars a year.
A year?
Hell yeah,
that
baby!
Is such a big fucking number.
Our operating budget is.
Yeah.
Hey, that is not a bad yearly operating budget.
No.
No, it's not. But it just means that, like, so our total net positive, like, our total income is like something dollars. Wow,
you
no.
You bleep the negative, too.
Oh, every number I'm bleeping.
I'm going to add movie into this because,
What are you still looking up?
Well, because it's called Americana, so I put Americana in, you know, America.
That's your genre?
Oh, no. That's the movie?
That's the movie.
Oh, okay.
My brother just watched that, and he put it on Letterboxd. He gave it 2.5 stars.
Oh, you know.
So perfectly average.
I would still eat at that restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't find the budget. The expected final domestic take is $1.5 million.
Nice. Oh. Hell yeah.
That's so much money.
It is.
The numbers.com doesn't have it, which makes it seem like...
Okay, if they are really trying hard to keep you from seeing the budget of this movie...
All I'm saying is, like, imagine what you and what the three of us in this room could do with $500,000.
We could hire 1/3 of someone with really good genes.
I could open a bar.
What?
Almost.
Is that
maybe.
A plan?
Depends. Depends on the area. Absolutely.
Open a bar?
Yeah.
With $500,000? <I know. laughs> If you can't do that in Ohio, you're fucked.
That's why I made that statement. I knew it to be true.
I was thinking major metropolitan area. If you can't open a bar for $500,000 in Northeast Ohio, yeah. Get fucked.
Downtown Akron? Yeah. Absolutely.
You can do that with $5 and someone's dream. Better not be yours.
I was doing a lot of research recently.
What?
I was doing a lot of research recently.
On
opening a bar?
Opening a bar.
Oh, okay.
Because I was at a cookout and we were just idly musing about why more bars just don't have just burgers you can get.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just open a bar and just like fucking like cook burgers from open to close, and that would just be such a huge draw on its own because like no one, the food things close so early. And then so we're talking about, oh, that'd be a good idea for a bar. It quickly progressed to, I should open a bar.
So just to be clear, the idea was bar and grill.
No, it's a bar, but we just happen to also have burger, like a burger. Yeah. See, when you hear grill, when I hear bar and grill, I imagine...
I've never even heard of that phrase that I just said.
When I hear bar and grill, though, I imagine like a menu and stuff. And like, this is like, we have a flat top, we cook a burger, we stick cheese on it, and then you get that. It's like $4 at most.
So you get cheese or no cheese?
Cheese or no cheese.
That's all your option.
I mean, that is enough options to be a menu. Is it just because nobody knows it? That's what keeps it from being a bar?
There's like a sign that says like burger, $4. It doesn't look price. And then you say, hey, I would like a burger. And then you could ask for no cheese. And then like the bartender goes, okay, and like walks over to the flat top and just cooks burger, comes back with it.
This is fucking innovative.
I would think it almost would need to be, assuming you want to be popular, a flat top cook position. Like,
I'm sorry, is this now the bartender, a hibachi burgers?
No, but the bartender also cooking the burgers during bar rush is going to be insane.
Because obviously this is going to be a very popular place. Yeah. They have burger.
Well, yeah. If you're going to dream big. So.
But they say, hey, Joe, get me a burger. And the guy named Joe, who's like reading a newspaper, puts it down and cooks a burger. This is not during prime rush hours.
No college town.
I wouldn't want to do a college town.
Okay, no. Well then.
This man has just invented the bar, folks.
He's
just a regular bar.
No, I'm innovating here. Because someone's like, you should do it in Kent. I'm like, that's a hard market to crack into. I know there's a lot of business there, but like things come and go so fucking fast there. And also, there's like a 90% chance you'll commit tax fraud. Apparently, considering that's
just
like how half the jobs
go. Being in Kent.
Yeah.
Why? Like, what was the ad?
Fucking bar 101 or what was 101 or
145?
145 tax fraud.
I wasn't cool enough to go to them. I don't know.
Pizza Fire tax fraud.
Oh, was it?
And I know that's only two things, but that's a lot of, like, tax fraud to happen in like
a whole town, two tax fraud, too much fraud.
To me, it feels like that Bo Burnham bit in Make Happy where he's like, two examples is enough.
For there to be two businesses that go out of business for tax fraud in a small town in Ohio in like a 2 year span seems like a lot to me.
And Pizza Fire was pretty good.
Pizza Fire was fantastic.
It was really nice to have like a counter to LeBron.
$80 million.
What?
$80 million.
They got away with $80 million in tax fraud?
No, it was supposedly the budget of that movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, I wish it was tax fraud.
Oh, sorry. I pumped the number way up. $20 million, which is less.
How did you
but
get
still
an eight?
A lot
where
more.
Where did the eight come from?
I don't know.
Okay.
He glanced at his phone and misread a two for an eight.
Look, it was a two. I crossed my eyes.
I'm always thinking about that eight, brother.
Huh?
Eight life. Eight life, straight life.
Oh, Matt's super straight.
Never sucked a dick. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your cock-free host, Matthew Olichek, joined as always by my... Are you cock-free?
This man does not have a cock.
Yo, bro, you sucked a cock before?
No.
My fellow cock-free enthusiast, Harrison Poole. And this week, we are joined once again by Melanie. Cock-free?
Yep.
Cock-free.
No
cock sucking on this podcast.
It's been a minute since Matt Super Straight came out, and I kind of forgot about him. And it just brought me back to a time, and I was just like, well.
What time?
I think probably when that was going around on Twitter and you decided to start saying it a bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have to start this podcast just to make a safe place for people like me.
Yeah, straight white men.
Schlubs.
Jewish for doesn't suck cock.
Oh, schlub. I thought you were talking about straight white man. I'm like, no, it's not. Listen, I'm willing to yes and a lot, but that's just factually inaccurate.
It really is a beautiful language.
Lashine Lahaim, straight white man.
So, I don't. Do we want to keep doing this stupid thing, or do we want to talk about?
No, surely not. We're going to make a very sensible, straightforward podcast.
So the guest always brings the movie, except for that one last time you were on where...
You brought me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but the guest now always brings the movie until they don't anymore. What movie did you bring, Mel?
Well, I brought the only movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, well, yeah, the first movie you've ever... Because Sinners is the other one.
That didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You should go see a really good representation for you in the beginning of it. There's a bunch of really cool Italian guys.
Hey, if the executives over at Cinemark are listening, genuinely, just get fucked. You gave him way too much on this, and he's eating way too good. Yeah, so it's X-Men First Class. A movie that, we'll get into this. My initial thoughts on viewing it again after several years is fine.
Oh my god, yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Oh my god, I know.
This thing is so fucking good, guys.
Now, listen, it rules. It's also incredibly dumb.
It's so fucking dumb.
It occasionally feels like it was written by literal teenagers.
Yeah, but like there's four different sets of them.
There's a few bits where I'm like, this is good. Some of the actors are good throughout.
The beginning?
None of them are Jennifer
fantastic.
Lawrence.
The ending? Mm. Really, really good.
The ending's great.
Yeah.
So this movie has like three really good movies stuffed somewhere in it.
Yes.
It is not the through line.
And it doesn't really pick any of them?
No. It just bounces from... Because like, okay, first off, and this is a tired ass take, but... Drip feed me Magneto Nazi Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch 10 seasons of that shit. It doesn't even have to be a movie. I will watch him killing random Argentinian fucks forever. That was great. And then they cut away from that movie and we never get to go back to it.
Nope.
Like when he drops the bodies.
Oh, when he lifts them and...
Yeah. Something I will say this movie does really well is because the whole thing's like, humans are afraid of us. This movie does a really good job of showing why. Because like...
This movie does a really good job of explaining the argument for eugenics.
Yeah. We're pro-eugenics on this podcast.
Look, I saw The Godfather 3 and I was just like, you know what? They don't need
a
fly.
Because that one scene is done almost like a horror movie where you just hear the thump, 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 and you're like, what the fuck is that? Then you realize
it's him
bodies.
Dropping the
bodies.
Okay. Azazel.
Like, I'm not saying you should just fucking...
That's his name.
like kill them all because of that, but you go like, oh, okay, because like
they were feds, it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you go like, okay, I there's that shock that, oh, that's crazy as shit and also fucking terrifying.
Yeah, no, and that was a really good scene set inside, I think, one of the weaker parts of the movie.
I like that. Yeah. I like that they kill the black man who can't die. That's right. Fun.
Look, we've spent so much time building him up as a character and really making sure that you feel some affection for him so that when we kill him, this is really going to tear at your heartstrings.
All that scene and a half that he was in beforehand?
Does that count? He was in a taxi. Okay. Now he's dead, and that sucked.
Also, Mystique is playing, like, there's points where she's a literal child and has child brain, and it's really annoying. There are points where she's the smartest person in the room. I kind of blame Matthew Vaughn for not, like, having a narrative arc for her.
She goes from, yeah, exactly like you said, she's the cutesy wootsy child, like when she's like cuddling up with Charles,
yeah,
at one point for some reason all of a sudden, and then
you don't do that with that, you don't do that with like your step bro.
No, weirdly enough, I don't.
Also, and then there's the weird like Magneto
scene. Okay, that's one I want to get back to later. Absolutely. It looks bad.
It comes out of nowhere. It's and it bad. Looks bad. Yes. Everyone, no one in that scene is performing well.
But like she's so like serious and oh, they'll never get on board with blah 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 blah, which who told you that? Literally, like, and this is another major problem with the movie is just how fucking libbed up Charles Xavier is. But like the only person who was telling you that was him. He was the only one who was like, no, don't be seen or anything like that. Because nobody else knew about mutants at this point. So, like, the only opposition you're getting is the only guy you know.
Yeah.
But everybody else is out to get you, which, what is that? Like, okay, there's a lot to be said about Charles Xavier.
Yeah.
But, like, one of Marvel's greatest villains. Yeah.
One time he dies in Ultimates, I think he dies or he gets seriously injured because he gets pushed downstairs. There's one guy who's immune to telepathy, like, gets him. He's like, where are we going? And he's like, to meet your greatest enemy. And then he just pushes the wheelchair downstairs.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, he deserved it.
Mystique goes from like the weird jealous girlfriend, but like not
and then she's
girlfriend.
Like, fun party time, to, like, huh? Yeah. I'm dancing on a table.
And then when they're all like naming themselves and they have that really awkward, she points is like, you should be Professor X and you should be Magneto. By the way, laughably bad.
So bad.
Again, I kind of blame Matthew Vaughn. I don't like Jennifer Lawrence in this movie. She has a couple of performances that I think are genuinely like very, very good.
And she does. And I've seen them, except I haven't. But like, I forgot about them watching this again.
Yeah.
It's a script. I think it's a script issue.
Probably.
Because I'm trying to... Silver Linings Playbook comes out the next year, and it's a movie
After. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. And it's a movie I like, but I love her in that movie.
I thought she was really good in American Hustle.
She's the best part of American Hustle, movie I do not like.
It's not good.
No,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that it's a one thing about mutants where, like... They're like, oh, society will never accept us and stuff. And I'm like, maybe just like they would be more accepted in today's climate, but like the internet's freaky, dude. If some blue woman showed up, I don't think people would be like, fucking lynch her.
Unless they found out she was black.
What area of the country? And I don't even think she needs to be black. I think she just needs to be blue. I think she can be blue in metropolitan areas. But I do think there are
certain... She'd be great in Los Angeles.
Oh, 100%.
We'd be eating her vagina ice cream.
To give this way more credit as a point than it deserves.
Selling her vagina ice cream.
I would say that... Okay, say this is like 1870.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about this before, like traveling freak show. They would have been okay with it, but they would have assumed that she was, like, related to that. They would have definitely treated her as an outsider, but, like, there wouldn't have been, like, the level of... Because, I mean, X-Men has always been, like, race allegory, sexuality allegory. Just being blue, like, a lot of times really wouldn't have done it.
Weird feet wouldn't have done it.
No.
Hank was so insecure about those weird feet, and they were just kind of strange feet at most.
I guarantee you he can find someone who loves his weird feet.
He could put shoes on.
That he annoyed me so much talking to Jennifer Lawrence, who is literally a blue lizard chameleon person about how disgusting they both are.
And we'll like, never be accepted. We're such ugly freaks. No one could ever think you were beautiful. And it's like there's 10,000 gooners just watching her right now.
Yeah, and also you just put on shoes. And literally your boss didn't know you were a mutant. No one knew,
and you worked for the fucking feds. So how did they not?
Unless they never took his shoes off and just x-rayed him. Or it was the 60s. What? At some
well,
point,
yeah, okay.
You got
time for your clothed x-ray, federal agent.
Yeah, I mean, did the doctor know that examined? I assume you go through physical exams to be in the CIA.
I would think. I mean, maybe not the scientists. I don't know. Like, yeah, did we strip search Von Braun when we brought him over? Like,
wanted to see his V8 rocket.
Shut the fuck up.
He annoyed me the whole movie. Nicholas Hoult annoyed me. And
not like in an endearing way. I genuinely did not. Okay, fine, we're skipping ahead, but there was one line that bugged me so fucking much in this movie, and it was towards the end when Havoc was like, "You know how to fly this thing?" And Beast is like, "I designed it." And I'm like, "That doesn't fucking mean a goddamn thing. That's not how that works, you dipshit. Like, you don't just become a fighter pilot if you make a plane." Maybe back in the 60s, this is set in the 60s, maybe he wasn't just completely being an idiot.
So the first 25 to 30 minutes of this movie is actually really, really good.
Yeah, 100%.
Setting up the Magneto versus Charles Xavier, like how their lives were different and then how they branched off.
Mm-hmm.
If they kept on that idea, the ending would have made so much sense. Because also, I know in the comics it's like deeper and they were together for longer. In this movie, they were together for what?
2 weeks?
A month and a half at most? 6 weeks at most, right? And we can all make deep, like, brother relationships in 6 weeks, but like, it's 6 weeks.
They went to a strip club together. That's a deep commitment.
I mean, that's trauma bonding, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've never.
No idea. I assume a strip club is traumatic for everyone involved.
I don't like performers looking at me, so I don't go to a strip club.
Okay, yeah. So we're in all agreement here.
Never mind.
But yeah, no. I really thought that the terrible segue. The concentration camp scenes.
How are you gonna make this work?
Really well done.
trauma bonding, you know?
Yeah. No, I loved... Well, also, I didn't... Okay, here's another dumb thing. If you are doing scenes in German in a movie,
mm-hmm.
and I, someone who speaks the like most bottom-tier German, can understand it, you've done bad German. I'm just putting that there. If your German is that understandable.
A poor performance from Gary Oldman, who's normally such good at these things.
No. Gary Oldman was doing fucking great this whole movie.
Who is Gary Oldman in this movie?
Sebastian Shaw. Don't worry, you'll learn about the reveal at the end.
What?
It's Gary Oldman.
Did I? Is there an after credits scene that I missed?
Yeah, it was Gary Oldman the whole time.
Where he takes off the Kevin Bacon mask and reveals he's Gary Oldman.
He's a fucking chameleon, dude. He absolutely. And I know this is something you value specifically. You forget you're watching Gary Oldman every time you see him, and especially in this movie.
If that was Gary Oldman
the whole time,
that's the greatest performance.
I know you might have like mistaken him for like say Kevin Bacon because they look so similar.
I thought at first it was a cartoonishly bad performance by Kevin Bacon.
It's an incredible performance by Gary Oldman. It's so good. You don't even know it's him.
I truly.
You could be forgiven for making that mistake. I would say that anyone who thought that it was or wasn't Gary Oldman was thinking the right thing seeing this movie. They were interpreting it correctly.
They look very similar, yeah.
They are the same dude in this movie because one's played by the other. But
I can hardly tell them apart.
The fact that his mother, as he was like, "I'm on a shooter," is just like, everything's good. Can you maybe come up with something like slightly more encouraging or something more like, "Things are great, kiddo. Everything's fine. Shot in the stomach."
I mean, yeah, she's in her last moments trying to be like, "This is your fault, but this isn't your fault, but this is your fault. Don't feel bad."
Or maybe like, "I love you, Eric."
Well, that would panic him, I think. I think she's trying not to panic him, which isn't helping the situation.
Eric.
Germans don't
emote.
Don't emote.
I guess that would explain it. That's how
they did the Holocaust so easily.
I mean, I did really love him then tearing apart the room, but I always dislike child actors. Sorry, I guess I skipped over something there. What was that? Did you fucking say?
So that's how they did the Holocaust so easily.
So anyways, as he's tearing apart the room.
It wasn't worth going back to. You didn't catch it, and I was letting you go.
Let you keep going. It would have ended a lot sooner if one of them could frown.
Well, I think
I'm just shitting on every actor in this movie, but that child actor just kind of like splaying his hands out, screaming. I didn't believe it.
How would you do it?
Better. But yeah, no, that then the skip ahead to Argentina, that fucking scene, so good. Sorry, what?
I truly feel like I'm being gaslit right now about Gary Oldman.
That's how I felt the whole movie.
So, it's real, okay.
Mel thought it was Gary Oldman.
The entire movie, I thought it was Gary Oldman. Just start to fucking finish, I was just like, man, I love Gary Oldman. He's so fucking good. And then we got to the credits, and the first time through, they have the names, you know, it's one of those like stylized credits. And they're not saying who they're playing. And I was like, who the fuck was Kevin Bacon in this? And why was Gary Oldman not credited?
Okay. I thought this had something to do with, like, future movies that I didn't know.
No, it's just the biggest twist of the movie.
Okay.
It was, like, I didn't think I was watching a Shyamalan film. And then it was like, hey, by the way, that was Kevin Bacon the whole time.
No, Mel's just horrifically face-blind.
All right.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't know it. No, we were there the whole time.
Oh, I'm leaving that in, just so we're aware, because this explanation makes zero sense.
He does look like Gary Oldman if you don't know what Kevin Bacon looks like.
But I know what Gary Oldman looks like.
But Gary Oldman always looks different in his movies. He looks very different in The Fifth Element than he does in Prisoner of Azkaban, and that's not 10 years of aging.
But they both look like Gary Oldman.
I don't know. I wouldn't know. So he goes to Argentina, and he kills some Nazis in a bar, and it's wonderful. I really wish, like, the entire power set of Magneto was throwing knives into people and then pulling them back. That's just really satisfying.
Jumping way forward, they were only following orders is the worst thing you could ever say.
God. And the how worst the fuck thing... does Charles Xavier not know that?
Charles Xavier, despite he's being such very a smart
dipshit in this movie,
he's very dumb. Charles Xavier often makes a lot of really dumb mistakes in comics and movies. He's a villain half the time in the comics, like straight up. He's like they go, he's a hero. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's the villain here.
If we're ranting about Charles Xavier right now, this was one of the things that I was like most consistently on watching this movie, and I said it earlier, is Charles Xavier has libbed the fuck up. Like, he's just constantly like, no, don't do that. That's too extreme. No, if we want to get acceptance, we've got to be the good guys. We've got to, look, they're taking the low road. We've got to go high.
Because Patrick Stewart really, really got the kind of like initial comparison of Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King. But, like, I think James does a great job acting. He's like a great job acting. But, like, James McAvoy's like, Martin Luther King, who? I'm Pete Buttigieg.
It's funny that you brought up Martin Luther King, because at one point I did think, like, oh, Charles Xavier is the white moderate he was warning us about.
Like, because Patrick Stewart got, because, like, his portrayal still has, like, he wants peace, but he's still willing to fucking throw hands over shit if he has to.
I also like, okay, we're just skipping
We're just
ahead.
Jumping.
Yeah, this, whatever.
Listen,
watch
the movie, don't watch the movie. We're jumping around.
It's 2 hours long.
It's too long.
It is, definitely. It is too long, and it is way too short. And they got nothing about the pacing right.
Absolutely. It's too long, and there are entire scenes missing to make any of this make sense.
Also, he's really quick on the being like boo, 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 of Charles Xavier when he pushes Banshee off the tower, and he's like, "What do you do?" I'm like, "He has metal on him."
There's so many times.
Comes to work, Eric just goes whoop and picks him back up.
Although earlier when he was jumping out of the window, he didn't do that, and I was like, "What the fuck,
Eric?" I don't think they were expecting. I think they were both expecting him to fly.
It's really sudden. He starts to yell and just hits the ground. And the reaction time there would be like, oh, he's going to do it. You know, I'm amped up. Everyone's amped up. Everyone's watching. He's going to do it. Then you see it happen. You're not like ready. I think that time he's like, I'm pushing him off, so I'm going to be ready if he doesn't do it.
Okay, maybe that's fair. But still, it's like, you could maybe help. He's just like leaning out the window smiling as he hits the ground.
Also, the plot of this movie is that...
Dumb.
But it's that mutants planned the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Pointlessly. Okay, if we're skipping ahead to my problem with the fucking, like, plan here...
Well, yeah. There is no plot to this movie, but if there is a plot...
For some reason, he engineers the Cuban Missile Crisis because he wants the USSR and the US to go to war with each other, to launch nukes at one another. And, oh shit, again, skipping ahead, that initial plan fails. So what am I gonna do? Oh, that's right. I can become a nuclear bomb thanks to this nuclear submarine I've had the whole fucking time. And then I could just teleport to one of these cities and then blow myself up. And then, like, 20 minutes later, do it in another city. No, I'm gonna do some weird geopolitical bullshit instead. Even though he had the nuclear submarine the whole goddamn time. Why did you give him a nuclear submarine? Why did you give him the perfect solution to this? Just as his car.
See, my big issue with it, he's like, I'm gonna nuke the world, and then mutants will be in charge. In charge of what?
The world.
You nuked the world.
They're building the new world from the ashes.
I mean,
they're planning Dark Phoenix.
Even when they show him ruling in this world, it's on fire.
Yeah.
It's still on fire when he's got all the mutants there hailing him.
Also, very, very important for this world to come to pass, he has to wait for a bunch of women who aren't mutants, so aren't like, oh, I can survive the nuclear apocalypse, to get pregnant, come to full term, and successfully deliver a healthy baby that then grows up into a full-grown mutant adult.
So many.
I would also just like to point out again, nobody knew about mutants at this point. They like, the government was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's not a thing. And you can't be like, oh, well, maybe they just didn't know about it. It looked like that was the Joint fucking Chiefs. Like, they definitely would have known if the government was already aware of this shit. So what are you concerned about? Like, oh, they're engaging in oppression against us. They don't know you exist!
I'm trying to make allegory, any sense out of this. Well,
the allegory does fall apart. That allegory of the X-Men falls apart at this point where, like, you don't mean it exists. Because it, like, they're like, oh, it's supposed to be allegory for race tensions. Like, yeah, but, like, the civil rights movement and all the like, atrocities of Jim Crow wouldn't have happened if we didn't know black people existed.
Right!
So, before we continue tearing this movie apart, I liked this movie.
I do. I do need to keep, like, jumping in and saying, no, I like this movie a lot. Like,
unironically,
it's very entertaining.
Unironically, I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, it's just fucking dumb. And it fucks up a couple of really great things. Like, I would love to watch an entire movie of Charles Xavier being a really good teacher.
Yeah.
Because those scenes are fantastic. Like, yes. You really see him genuinely, like, working his best to bring out the most in his students and the people that he's teaching. And then we got to move on from that. Sorry, Sebastian Shaw's underwater, and he's...
Help him. Someone help him. He's stuck.
He's, I guess, blackmailing some Russian dude. We never really got... Who was that guy? He was a general.
I don't know. The moment the credits rolled and it revealed there were, like, 7 scriptwriters on this movie, I went, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. I didn't pay attention to that part of the credits. I'd already been blown away. Do you think they did just, like, take scenes from all 7 scripts and stick them into the same movie? Because, yeah. I mean, that's how it fucking
feels. That's usually how it goes. That's why these movies
are so
messed.
Actually, like, then do a pass where they blend them together in any, like, coherent way?
I didn't watch all of them. I saw a couple of the deleted scenes, and parts of the movie made more sense. It's one of those where, I get it, you can't have, I mean, now you could, but in 2011, you could not have a 3-hour superhero movie, nor should you.
No! Like,
Doomsday is going to be 4 hours long, cost $40 billion.
I'm not watching it.
I'm going to.
God bless you.
I don't think he does.
Mel's gonna save that budget single-handedly by watching it.
It's just But yeah, it feels like seven different people all wrote a draft, and then one dude mad-libbed them together into like...
I mean, I saw this, because when we were in college, in the feature-length film program, we started with one script. It really mirrors Hollywood. One script that's written by a competent screenwriter that's good. A bunch of producer people don't like it or try to change it for dumb reasons, so they pull the script. They go, oh, God. You then go through, like, each week it's a new fucking script mm-hmm. that's being written, and by the end it's, you can kind of see where it came from, but it's, like, almost unrecognizable, and it's shit, because it's, like, 30 ideas put into 7 scripts, which have been mushed into one.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck am I watching?
Like, and again, you can go through, and there's so many scenes that I like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, I fucking love the getting the gang together recruiting scene that they do specifically in, like, getting the gang together. Like, they do all those, like, boxes and everything like that with the... Like, oh, this guy's going on over here, and this guy's going over here, and I'm sure there's a tech.
No, you're whatever. Yeah.
But, like, the I like Ritchie. That. That's stylish. That's 60s. That fits.
Yeah.
And then there's all the shit on the sub. I just hate the shit on the sub. Get rid of the fucking submarine.
Cut the entire I know then you wouldn't have a movie, but cut the entire Cuban Missile Crisis.
No, you would have a movie. There's still good movies in there. Fuck the Cuban Missile Crisis. Magneto's just hunting Shaw down.
100.
He himself is capable of being a nuclear bomb. We gotta stop him. There you go. You didn't need a submarine.
You have Charles and Eric that want the same goal, but have two very different ways of going about it. And then in the end, that's the thing that splits them.
Right. That could be the whole movie instead of the thing that you shove in at the very end,
where they don't have the same goal. And
you'll always be my brother, Eric. Since when?
And the movie proves Eric right. Like,
well, okay, Magneto's to be fair, right. X-Men constantly does that.
They literally they shot nuclear missiles at them.
Magneto being right is a meme because it's true.
Yeah, he's so consistently right. No, I don't know if sure. you watched X-Men 97. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was right. He's just always right.
He's just so fucking old man Logan. Logan.
Haven't
Logan
seen it.
Proves mm-hmm. Magneto right.
I think he was right in the sequels to this movie, which I may have seen unofficially at some point.
The issue with having two opposing sides on this key issue is that if you want it to appear gray or appear black and white, don't make the villain the right side.
Like, don't make it the sympathetic Holocaust villain or victim.
I mean, he's a villain technically, but no.
The issue is that against extreme oppression, extreme like lib-coded pacifism, just is never the right answer.
Yeah,
and they really want it to be.
The movie really does try to sell it like Charles was right. Without ever actually selling it.
Charles is wrong in the argument Charles makes. Charles is paralyzed because he's wrong.
Also,
he's literally punished for it in the movie.
Also, kind of a dumbass because it's pretty well established that he was digging around all in Eric's head. And yet at the end there, when he's gonna kill Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah.
He's like, no, this will be crossing a line. You can't come back.
You already watched
him kill a bunch of Nazis. What's the line?
I will say, there in the final confrontation, Eric does make one flaw watching it. I'm like, because he's like, oh, no, my brother's been hurt. I'm like, if you just, like, we just saw you capable of catching and suspending in midair.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
missiles.
He totally was. He was a negligent piece of shit. Sorry, let me throw these bullets where everyone is standing. That'll be fine.
Why you, also
just crush the gun. Like,
also, make it so she can't pull it. We saw you do that earlier, too. So what are you doing?
Just having the bullets hover in midair would look cooler, yeah, Eric. Like,
100%. But we need Charles in a wheelchair.
If you want
to
be like,
so we can give him a drug to get him out of the wheelchair.
You want to be like Homo Superior? I should see you be like, I'm Magneto, and you hover the bullets like you're Neo. Not, ting, would you? I can do that with a metal plate.
Have him push Charles away, and then like have him push Charles away because the iron in his blood, and then he lands on something bad. Like, that's a direct like consequence to action that makes more sense and is more direct. That like,
what if one of the what if one of the missiles hit and the shrapnel got him?
I'm fine with that.
Hey, whoa.
I'm fine with that.
I will say, I did love the two ship commanders both being like, gentlemen, it's been an honor. Okay, we're going to die now. Hell yeah.
I mean, that is...
We try to murder our citizens. It's been an honor.
We had this coming. I'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, they try to put it off as like tragic, and I'm like, no. Like, I guess
they were only following orders.
If you show the cook and the ship, sure. If you show the people who aren't launching the missile, but you're focusing on the people who are pulling the trigger.
The most specifically culpable. And look, even if Charles Xavier hadn't been in the Holocaust victim's head, he's a smart guy. He knows not to say they were only following orders.
100%.
Fuck.
Charles Xavier lost because he couldn't read the room. He could read his mind, but couldn't read the room.
Oh my God. Like, Nuremberg was 20 years ago, Charles. What the fuck is wrong with you?
He sent for them.
Like, this is not like, oh, you know, he's just a science guy. He doesn't know that. He's just a little science guy.
It's not
guy.
Even like history. It's
no!
Like, it's like
this happened in your lifetime, it's you like, psychic
it's
fuck.
It's like 9/11 for us. It's like, yeah. It's right there.
I have no idea what our equivalent is. Osama had a point.
He gave us MCR. He did.
Well, he did give us MCR. And remember me.
He's the greatest American hero. He's given us so much American culture.
Yeah, so anyways, they get the gang together because... Again, somebody's blackmailing the... Like, why did the... Oh, that's right. Somebody had kidnapped the general and taken him 5,000 miles across.
Yeah, as Azazel.
Azazel, which... I do love that when they're constantly giving out people, like, special names. He's just a Russian guy.
I keep wanting to call him Azrael, but it's...
I think it's Azazel. It's supposed to be Azazel.
Is okay. It? I thought it was Azazel.
It's supposed to be in the comics, like, Azazel. It's supposed to be, like, a biblical thing.
That's Azazel. Azazel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's biblical. But you're saying just Azazel?
I don't know. I say things wrong all the time.
I know. Yeah. Listening back to this, that's... Oh, clear. He teleports him across the country. The war room is all in a panic. I guess Kennedy once bombs in, I don't know, this tied back into Kennedy, but I don't really remember how. Things get a little muddy there when they're like shipping across the ocean. He's blackmailing people and threatening them to put missiles. Oh, Turkey. They put the missiles in Turkey.
Yes.
And that's the problem that gets the Russians all hyped up, except they didn't really care. But we threaten to throw you off a roof, and then, as is the Russian way, you comply. And then, training montage?
Also, Emma Frost is in...
Is
captured in this movie for most of the run. I forgot she was in this movie until the end.
She doesn't need to be. I mean, I guess to have another telepath there, but...
Well, when she
they
diamonds...
did because Hellfire, the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, but then they treat her like she's like a whatever in the Hellfire Club.
Yeah.
And maybe at that point, I don't know the comics like super well, but like she wasn't an underling, right?
I mean, everyone's under the Black King, but she is the White Queen, so she's important.
When she like
she
diamond circled the two-way mirror, I thought she was gonna like break out and it was gonna be something.
Okay.
And then nothing happened.
It was weird that she just stayed there then.
Yeah.
That said, I did love that.
That one scene, absolutely. I thought something was gonna happen.
It was such a good moment, and then we got away from it because it doesn't matter. And then we gotta go on to what was it? Then Charles and
She could have just walked out.
Yeah, she could have. Because we can see Charles just freeze everybody, and as far as the movie's concerned, she's about as good as him.
Like she turns into bulletproof diamonds.
Oh well, yeah, there's that too. Not squish proof.
She's stronger though.
Well, she might have ran into the army's squish guns.
Squish guns?
They're squish guns. It's just a gun that shoots out a squishy hand.
So is the hand squishy?
No.
Oh, the hand squishes. All right.
Yeah. I will also say that there were a couple times where it was very clear that they were not good at doing this Bond, like, 60s heist movie send-up sort of thing.
Yeah, what are you heisting?
Sebastian Shaw.
But he, like, is that... From a submarine?
Yeah!
It goes back to the point where, like, if you gave him, like, his own island where he's like, I'm the man who can be a nuke, then you have a good Bond movie set up. You have a good Bond movie with mutants if he's like, I'm the man who can be a nuke, and I'm on my special island.
But man who can be a nuke is not the main problem. It's man who is blackmailing people, so why did it need to be man who can be a nuke?
I think that's just by happenstance.
So is Mystique the Bond girl in this movie? Or no, is Emma Frost is the Bond? But
okay, we're back to the so weird sexualization of
Bond?
Mystique.
I was going to say,
who's Bond?
If we're assuming Bond...
Magneto.
I agree, but in that case...
I was going to say Moira.
Okay, we'll come back to something I'm pissed about with Moira.
There are two deleted scenes that make the Charles Moira weird thing happen at the end.
Oh, the fact that they're apparently in love, even though we saw none of that?
It makes it make more sense.
Was there literally anything in the movie that showed them in any kind of like romance?
No, I don't think there was. There are two deleted scenes.
Okay. That's even worse
than. They put it in the movie because it's in the comics and they cut out the scenes that make it make sense.
Right. Okay. So one of the things I was most pissed about, it, like last scene of this movie, they're like, and you don't remember anything? Your whole mind's wiped. And she's like, yeah, just some flashes, a kiss. And they're like, man, this is why women don't belong in the CIA. Yeah. And it's like, first off, there was no romance. So why the fuck are we bringing her character down at the last minute with that? But also, fuck you. You know there's a psychic who can erase memories. So why are you acting like, oh, this dumb broad couldn't hold up against the infinitely powered mutant? Idiot.
A man wouldn't be swayed by a simple kiss. Name one time a man's done something against his will because of a woman. You can't.
As far as I know, men don't even like women.
Men don't.
Well, this movie proves men don't like women because Charles and Magneto, this is the most homoerotic fucking...
Holy shit, are we talking about that? I know that's been played the fuck out by this point.
I agree, 100%.
But my God, I wish they fucked.
Moira exists just to prove Charles is a gay.
Oh my God, they are like... So, the chemistry between James McAvoy, that's how you pronounce that.
Yeah,
between
McAvoy.
James McAvoy and... Michael Fassbender is too much. If anything, it's just too much. When they're in the strip club and they're like leaning up against each other on the bed there, it's just like, do you actually want her here? Like, okay, like, fuck the recruiting. Do you want, okay, she's on the team now. Do you want her to step outside now?
when he has him move the satellite and like shows him a picture, an image of his mother, and they're both just like sobbing into each other's arms. Like, that was beautiful. That's one of the best parts of the movie. And
I know that there's so much like, okay, guys can be friends. Like, stop it. Just let them be, like, close platonically. Okay, sure, yeah, guys can be friends, but these guys...
Exactly.
No.
Agreed.
Not these two. These two are fucking. Like, stop selling me. Okay,
you can maybe convince me that Magneto's straight. Me and Harrison were fucking, so...
Well, yeah, but also acceptable to believe that. Like, these guys are definitely also work husbands, but they are also home husbands.
They're husbands.
Home husbands. All home. Oh.
Home husbands.
Yeah. It was just frustrating watching this again after several years of like, oh, Tumblr loves these two together. And like, yeah, we're past that. You can stop shipping them. And it's just like, no, there's a reason.
This movie ships them.
They're brothers.
I've seen all your most intimate moments, Eric.
Every time you jacked off, I've seen it.
I was there, Eric. It was me.
It just is.
Also, the Hugh Jackman cameo, completely worthless, pointless. I didn't like it. It's fun, completely unrelated to those two fucking, but that was just gratuitous.
I agree with everything you're saying, and I loved it.
It makes sense timeline-wise. So
I mean, until you see the next movie, I think the next movie, doesn't Days of Future Past kind of fuck that all up?
No.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
But yeah, I do agree with you. It is gratuitous. It's really dumb. They wanted the F-bomb and they wanted the famous character.
Because he's a cameo in this movie. He's in Days of Future Past. He is a cameo in, I want to say, Apocalypse?
Okay.
One of the later ones. Maybe not. Is there one between another?
There's what? Phoenix? Dark Phoenix?
Dark Phoenix is the end.
It's not Dark Phoenix. Is there one between... That isn't Days of Future Past between this one and Apocalypse.
I don't believe so. I think Apocalypse.
Then it's Apocalypse. Yeah,
is the next one.
Because it again, it like timeline wise makes sense, but it's like, yeah.
One thing that really bothered me, aside from Magneto's just overall, like, oh, you're blue, you're blue. as that scene is happening, at first his objection to her coming on to him is, you're a little young for me.
Yeah.
And then there's, she ages herself up, nah. Back down to young age, but blue. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool, I'm in.
So... How old is everyone in this movie?
I don't fucking know. It doesn't make any sense because by all means, she should be the same age as Charles.
So
they looked the same age when they were in the kitchen.
So let's say he was 12 in the Holocaust. Yeah? Lower, older?
Maybe 9?
Let's make it an even 10.
Okay.
He was 10 in the Holocaust.
I'll give you 10 in the Holocaust.
And then, so, 16 years, we jump forward like 16 years. He is 26 years old.
He's about the same age as Xavier.
Xavier was... A little younger, maybe. A little bit.
Maybe.
And she was basically the same. So, there's like... That's,
maybe he says she's too young to him because he couldn't just say, I don't get hard unless you're blue. So he made up that excuse.
Also, but they were... Yeah. That scene only came out of nowhere. Because they were setting up the whole, like, Nicholas Holt romance thing. And then he just
says, no one could ever find you beautiful like this. Just don't say something. Yeah. Just don't talk there.
Imagine Mystique has body dysmorphia.
He heard about,
but can literally morph her body into
He heard
anything.
About negging and just kind of grasped the base kernel of the concept.
Fucking Hank, yeah.
But just went way too far. Like he's like, okay, I understand. He just goes up to a girl at a bar and says, you're stupid and ugly.
He managed to put that weird fucked up foot right in his mouth.
Like Charles mastered negging. In the intro bar scene.
Yeah, his fucking come-ons.
Was beautiful. Magnifique.
Oh, you're some kind of weird mutant freak. I happen to be an expert in mutant freaks, so that's hot for me. Okay, I'm down. What?
Also, yeah, one of the Moira scenes that got cut, they brought back that when they hook up for the first time is she does the line that he did on her to him. And it's like to playback.
Race play.
Sure. Like, but it's about her hair. Like she, like he points out something about her hair and is like, actually, did you know it's a genetic mutation? Blah, blah. And then like did that. And it was like kind of cute. Okay.
So originally they did mean to earn it.
Yes. Originally they tried and then it got cut for time.
But we gotta leave the fact that women don't belong in the CIA and at the end.
Yeah.
We gotta do that.
We also gotta leave Magneto and Mystique for no reason. Like, was it just to set up why she would leave
it
Charles
had to be.
For but there's
Well their names start the same letter.
There you go, House M.
That's
what the M's for.
That's how you know you should fuck. I'm surprised you aren't dating a fuck.
A Harry.
No, that's just your name.
Hannah? But.
A Hannah.
I was like, name any H.
Well, I got stuck at Harry, and I'm like, that's just like the inversion of your name. I don't want to do that.
That's too close. I did have an aunt and uncle who are both Mike, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know.
That rules.
That's
right. Yeah, until they got divorced, it was he Mike and she Mike, and that was always fun.
Her family's really cool.
Yeah,
she's pretty cool. One of her moms like was a pool hustling lesbian in like the Southwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She stayed a lesbian. She's not in the Southwest anymore.
But I'm like, that's like a movie almost.
Yeah, that was while my other mom was having her last weekend hooking up with everybody in town. Yeah.
Your moms rock.
Yeah, they do. They're pretty cool. But this movie. I don't know. Oh, God, now I lost it.
So was Mystique just to prove that Eric wasn't gay? Was that like...
I feel like it, yeah. Because he didn't really express any interest in anything else in this movie
but
except
like
killing
never.
Nazis and fucking Charles.
You're not convincing me that you're not gay. You're like, I like the woman that can turn into a man.
But she never does, but I
She
agree.
Does in the movie.
No, but like, not to him ever.
Oh, okay.
That's what I
yeah,
meant.
Yeah, but he picked
she
the
does,
one...
She turns into...
He picked the
one... She turns
Gary
into that
Oldman.
Dipshit. No, oh, she does!
She turns
also,
into...
Yeah,
Shaw, yeah.
He picked the one woman that could be Charles Xavier.
and knows him better than anyone else. So, she does say that at one point. Yeah. I know you better than anyone else. So he's just like, this is the next best thing.
It's like the real deal.
This one won't tell me to stop killing.
That's cute. I like that.
Oh, and a fucking kid can't walk. Oh, that's insensitive. I'm sorry. Oh my God. I should not have made that joke. I'm sorry. Oh.
I did that to him. And then they're like, all the cutesy, like, oh, we just got to shave your head. Ha ha, that's not going to happen. Stop it.
Yeah.
I think you've mentioned this before, not liking it when they're like doing a stupid wink towards the future
shit. They're not going to shave, though. It's going to be Ancient Aliens.
Is that what happened? I don't actually know what happened to his hair. Did Apocalypse rip his hair out?
Spoilers for future movies in this series. Apocalypse works by, he takes over other bodies and gains the mutant abilities of those bodies in this movie. And so they put him in a machine that he has, an ancient Egyptian machine. It's like alien, but it's in Egypt. And he's going to transfer to Charles Xavier to get his powers and also to live longer. But when he's in this machine, he loses all his hair, supposedly because the machine's going to turn Charles Xavier to an exact replica of him. But he's like, he gives this big speech about how, like, you can build the Tower of Babel, but you can never strike God. And it's a really good scene in the midst of an otherwise kind of okay movie.
Yeah, and I mean, Days of Future Past has Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And I think something else, kind of when he's like moving the baseball field or the whatever, baseball that's pretty cool. Good. Otherwise, whatever. Let's see, other thoughts. This movie does a tiny little thing, and I hate it, when he introduces him to Cerebro. He's like, yeah, I call it Cerebro, and Charles is just like, Spanish for brain, yes? It's like, how fucking stupid do you think everyone is?
No, that...
Was that necessary? No, did that help?
They are both two huge fucking nerds. 100%. One says, I am Cerebro, and the other person's like, time to show that I understand what that means. And suddenly the other person goes, you understand what I mean. That is 100% authentic. Ugh. That is what would happen. 100%.
I guess what I'm saying is I fucking hate nerds.
They're both jacking each other off. They're tight in all the movies because they're both like, we're smart.
I mean, that is kind of their thing, yeah. There were so many things, and a lot of them just are the things with Nicholas Holt, when they're like, and what's your mutation? And he jumps up onto the flimsy-looking thing, and every time I see that, I'm just like, what's that weight rated for?
That's his mutant power. He can ignore weight limits.
I guess. And then also he can run around the whole place way faster than makes any fucking sense.
He's very fast.
He's very fast, but he's not that fast.
Like a horse.
That's speedster fast.
No, because you can see him.
Okay, yeah.
On the weight-bearing, 15 years ago when this movie came out. No. Fuck.
Shut up.
I said that.
Shut up.
Wow, fuck. Anyway, when this movie first came out and we all saw it. When we all saw it in the theaters, did the effects look cheesy then?
Not as bad, but not they really bad. Did now.
Because it looks cartoon, like it looks borderline like a big budget Adam West cartoon.
And that's why there were a couple times where I'm like, I can't tell right now if this is hokey and underdone because they are trying to do a send up of like a 60s spy movie, but also it felt very 90s Bond.
Mm-hmm.
It felt so Pierce Brosnan Bond at a lot of points. And so I was like, are they deliberately making it look a little bad because of that, or do they not have the talent to do that? And instead this is just bad. Like, the fucking Emma Frost effects, I hate them.
I love the Shaw effects.
Those are really good. Yes. Those are spectacular.
That is such a smart way to show the
thing. Yeah, no, that is... No. Because that's
like,
so
like,
good.
Like, James, how are you going to do... Like, he's like trying to figure out how to make the powers look dynamic. How do you make I absorb kinetic energy look dynamic? And then you're like, we're going to do something really weird. And it fucking works.
Yeah, that I will give no pushback to whatsoever. That is one of the cooler effects I've ever seen for a power in anything.
Like when he has like the many arms with the grenade. It's like, that's so cool.
Love that shit. But when they pull up, and again, everything with the fucking submarine. When
thank
like,
you.
When they pull up under the ice and they're like, go get me some ice. He's like, go get me some ice, Emma. Again, treating who is supposed to at the very least be second in command as just like his fucking maid. And they, like, pop up through the fucking ice sheet, and she carves it, she, like, scratches it off, and it looks fucking stupid as shit.
And, like, well, and also the last scene of the submarine when he, like, summons all the metal and, like, these, like, pushing metal bars against him, that those looked like foam bar. Like, they looked like foam.
Oh, but to Magneto, the master of magnetism, they are.
But no. But they should look real.
But to he is the master of magnetism.
But as I was watching, I'm like is this a
minimal strain Fassbender puts into that? Like, oh, this is uncomfortable. No, your chest is being crushed.
Yeah. I can't tell sometimes if this wants to be a goofy comic book movie or it wants to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. Not like a Dark Knight gritty, obviously, but like an Avengers. Like it's trying to
a lot of especially because, like, Iron Man just come out. A lot of super movies were trying to do both. You kind of have to lean in one direction or the other. I mean, like, one of the greatest Marvel movies is, like, Winter Soldier. And that leans hard into being realistic. Yes. That cartoon. Superman's fantastic because it leans hard into the comic book.
Okay.
And, yeah, this one, it's trying to be an X-Men story. It's trying to be, like, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's trying to be, like...
So good.
But not in a good way. It's trying
I just have to always
pretty good. Die another day. Like, it's trying to be a lot of different things. And also, I guess, Schindler's List.
This movie has very similar Captain America, not Winter Soldier, the next one.
Civil War.
In that, it's almost the exact reverse problem, is that this is X-Men Origins Magneto. This is what this movie should have been.
Well, wasn't it supposed to be originally?
Yeah. And kind of what it is.
Okay.
In a way that, like, I think Civil War is an Avengers movie. They just were too chicken shit to call it an Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie should have been a Magneto movie, and they were too terrified to not call it the Magneto movie.
Right, and again, I would love it if it was, because you could do all of this setup. Yes. Like, if you did the actual, like, X-Men first class and made the entire movie focusing on him getting the class together and teaching them, and, like, maybe there's, like, a little conflict at the end or whatever, but, like, mostly it's that.
The conflict should be his hunt. The conflict is his hunt for Shaw. That's what this movie's about. It's not about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Stop trying to make it about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
It's the 60s.
But
Kennedy.
But I don't care. That's all weird pastiche that I don't love. Make it about the hunt. Make it simple. Like, this should have been a very simple, streamlined movie.
And again, it's one of those things where they could have gone either way. They could have made it more about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
100%.
Or they could have had Shaw be capable of being a nuke and that being the problem. But they were like, both?
Either it's an X-Men movie where the plot is stop the Cuban Missile Crisis, or it's a Magneto movie that's about his hunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's also weirdly a Charles Xavier movie for like 20 minutes of this movie for no goddamn reason.
And there are a lot of times, again, they really do a good job of showing Charles Xavier as a mentor figure.
Yes.
They do that.
Yes.
Just not enough of it.
This movie starts and ends fantastically because they're the same movie. Because the ending makes sense to the beginning. And then the entire hour and a half Cuban Missile Crisis movie that isn't about the Cuban Missile Crisis, but is about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Is the very last scene the scene where they're like, women don't belong in the CIA? Is that the very last scene?
The last scene, I think, is the breaking out, is breaking Emma Frost out.
That's right. Okay.
I
love how they never, like, he's like, we are engaged in brotherhood and we are mutants and we're not evil. We're not evil.
Yeah, we're not going to put that in there.
No. We're not the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
That'd be silly.
Why would we call ourselves that?
I like this movie as is, and it's disappointing that it wasn't better.
Yeah.
It's all I'm saying.
It is entertaining. It does drag a couple times. I am so pissed about Darwin every time I watch this fucking movie. He was barely there, then they sacrifice him.
That actor finally got a good contract 15 years later.
Who was he?
He's a Mr. Terrific in Superman.
Oh, and everybody did love him.
And he might get like a series, or at least he's going to be in other movies.
But it is wild that they choose the guy whose like only thing is, I don't die.
Yeah.
And kill him.
I would have killed, what was her name? Angel?
Yes.
Yeah, she was worthless.
Yeah, she had no served no real point.
Also, in other movies. I hated her powers visually. They were like her wings were weird.
That's racist.
Yeah, it is. her wings were weird. Her just spitting acid. I know that's right, but it looked fucking dumb. Like, I don't know. Just like pick people who translate to screen better, I guess. Where's skin? Like,
you think skin would be less disgusting?
No. It's not about Oh, you think that it's the spit thing?
No, now I do, but I was thinking, like, you're talking about the visualness of it. Someone, like, ripping off their skin, you don't think is...
No, it's not about it being gross. It's just about whether or not it looks good. And him, like, whipping it around, I'd take that out.
Leave that in? But I just wanted to see people whipping it around on screen.
I want more skin! Got anything else?
All right, I guess I'll
say
my thoughts.
I'm about tapped out on the movie at this point. It's pretty good,
Thoughts are Moira McTaggart, more like Moira Me Tag That. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is that the X-Reader fanfic you want?
From this movie, yeah.
From this movie, not in general, no.
Well, like, for the characters, not in general, no. But for this movie specifically, yes.
That makes sense.
I mean, you've already got such a glut of Charles X Magneto.
Yeah, I'll take like a comics X... Matthew X, Emma Frost, but
X. Is there another X? Comics
no.
X Matthew X.
No
Matthew.
Comics.
Okay. Oh, comics Emma Frost. Yeah. So she's meaner to you.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. Like, that's not exactly the draw.
She gets it, folks.
Some final thoughts.
No, just never make Nicholas Holt show his teeth again. Just never do that. That snarl will haunt me forever. I hate it.
And I understand that Beast was, like, real sensitive because he just became Beast, but he didn't need to do Magneto like that. Magneto was being genuine.
That was so shitty in that moment.
He was being like...
It's like you've had multiple conversations with this guy. You know he's sincere about
and
it.
And I get you're just sensitive. It had just happened. You didn't plan on this.
Don't fucking mock me. That's the last person who would mock you. He specifically wants to fuck you more because you're blue.
Yeah.
Like, it's his main thing. Size of the Apocalypse, also blue.
Ooh. All right.
And Oscar Isaac.
Blue man.
Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. Instagram, as always, is Two Men Movie Podcast. You can email your many fan fictions, which I will pay you real U.S. currency for, at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you don't want to ever listen to an episode with Brandon on it, you can go to the YouTube, Two Men and a Movie Podcast. He talks too long, can't
is
be there.
Is that why I never actually come across a Brandon episode on
YouTube? No, he's on Spotify.
Is he?
Yeah. His episodes are too long. We can't export them properly.
Who watches a podcast on YouTube? Funny people. Hopefully you do it now.
You can find our brand new store in the show description because the URL's fucked. I'll say it anyway. redbubble.com/people/TMMP-store.
There's merch now?
There's merch now.
Yeah, last week apparently he made a store and didn't tell me.
I swore I did.
He did not.
So what's the merch? Do you even know?
It's t-shirts and mugs.
So we get t-shirts and mugs and stuff. It's our show logo and our show logo in grayscale in reverse because you need to have a certain amount of designs to open the store. And then it's the actual logo I bought the first time when I was drunk, which has a movie walrus, Marvin the Movie Walrus, our long-running mascot, and that's also in grayscale.
We had an entire... Yeah, I'm done with Marvin the Movie Walrus. I think he was a very funny drunk bit, and it has gone too far.
But you can buy him on a shirt.
Yes, you can.
But plushie when?
Plushie of Marvin is in...
No, fuck Marvin.
Oh, who do you want a plushie of?
When are you guys' plushies coming out?
Oh, I mean, I've always dreamed of having my own little Harrison plushie that when I squeeze it does the famous laugh he does. His famous laugh. His famous guffaw. You can find me where I'll probably be posting as I go to Indonesia to find children to make this plush on Midwest_magician. That's the noise I'll make.
That's the Matthew Olenchek guarantee. This will be made by tiny hands.
I love child labor.
If you want to see the world's largest collection of stalactites, go to Ohio County.
King Crystal.
Oh my god, guys. It's the largest cavern system in Ohio. Book now.
Not the largest geode, though. That's and put in bay.
But if you would like to follow my nonsense, which why would you when the Ohio caverns exist? But you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads,
and Lemonade.
You're
only going to spend like a maximum of a week at the Ohio caverns. You can come back and take in all the Harrison Pool content you want.
Nah, man, I'm moving.
I'm living in those caves. I'm staying in them caves.
Wait a few months for me to source tiny nimble hands, and you can bring your own Harrison plush to meet King Crystal. Send us pictures.
So, I'll show
the kids.
You can follow me on all that stuff I mentioned. I don't remember what it was, but you can follow me on that stuff at harrisonpool.com. HarrisonPoolDotCom, harrisonpool.com. Follow me on Letterboxd at HDPoolE124.
And Mel doesn't exist.
I don't. What? Oh, if I have anything to plug?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, Mel doesn't exist. Uh-uh. You can't find her anywhere.
Well, I did tell you all to grow your own vegetables last time because they were going to fuck up the supply chain. It happened. It's too late now. It's going to be winter. You're fucked.
Thank you to Tristan Ostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week where either we'll have a weird bonus guest for Guesttober or we're going to watch Saturday Night. We haven't figured that out yet.
Guesttober? Fuck September?
Oh, August. August. This is August.
Oh, is Guesttober a thing?
It was last year. Last year was Guesttober. Anyway, okay. Yeah. It's either going to be a bonus guest or we're going to watch Saturday Night. We haven't decided yet. So long. Bye. And good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.